Welcome to the Falcon in Focus podcast, the first edition of the 2017-18 athletic year. I'm Steve Schauer, joined here by Director of Athletic, Dr. Rob Barnhill. Rob, thanks for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Look forward to it.
Before we kind of get into it and ask some questions, how was your summer? What type of things did you do? I heard you sold the boats. You're out of the fishing business.
Well, I haven't quite sold it. It's still up for sale. I want to be out of the boat business because I'm tired of giving more money to the boat. They say boat stands for borrow another $1,000, and it feels like that because I've spent literally $1,000 each year for the past 2 years just upkeep stuff on it. So I did do some fishing. I played quite a bit of golf, albeit poorly. I look forward to putting the golf clubs in the basement and not seeing them again because it was that frustrating of a summer. But I coached my kids' baseball team, and we had 40 games, so all of May, June, most of July was spent at the ballpark.
How much did you win? Did they win, I should
they
say?
They won a lot. I mean, we finished third in our league, but we 10-run ruled everybody.
Oh, wow.
And we're a 10-year-old team playing an 11-year-old league, so every kid was bigger and stronger. Yeah, we're a pretty decent squad, and it was a good season. It was a good summer. The kids played hard, and we had a chance in the final week. They take the top two teams to the playoffs. We came one game short, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Did you do any traveling? Maybe get back home to
North
Carolina?
I did. I went to North Carolina and saw my dad and my little brother, played some golf, and went fishing, and so got to see my family, so it was good.
Are your parents at all concerned with Irma coming through? I know it's somebody get rained on.
Adam Walker asked me that, too, because Adam's been down and met my family and stayed at our house. And I haven't called them. Primarily because the last hurricane that went through there, I called, and they've lived down there forever, their whole lives. So it's not, it doesn't freak them out. I mean, obviously there's concerns, but the computer model, no one knows where it's going to go yet. It's so far off the coast. I mean, no one knows if it's going to hit Miami, and then once it hits landfall, who knows what it's going to do? But all the computer models having it going north, and then they can't predict, but so far away. So I'm going to give it another day, and then see what he's got planned.
All right, let's kind of get into it. As an athletic director, what do you do during the summer to prep for the upcoming athletic year?
Rest, sleep, not come to the office. No, it's really a lot of pre-work. I mean, the hardest, I say this all the time, the hardest part of hunting and fishing is pre-hunting and post-fishing. I mean, it's the pre-work. Same thing with being an athletic director. I mean, a lot of the stuff you end up doing is putting all the pre-work into it and then the post-event wrap-ups and then the majority of my job is just putting out fires. I mean, nobody brings solutions to my office. It's always challenges and problems, and that's what I like about it, actually. I like the fact that every day's different, and every day presents new problems, and I need to work with people to try to find solutions. But the summertime is doing a lot of planning, a lot of the busy work and the paperwork and the preparation for the following year. And then it's all, but as you know, it's time for rest too. So
very true. I can agree with that. Golf myself, sit home with the kid a little bit. This year we have men's volleyball has joined the department. Men's hockey JV is now full club status. Why the importance to add men's volleyball and to elevate hockey to club status?
They are connected but also disconnected. So from a connected standpoint, part of our charge in athletics is to seek to grow the kingdom, right, to increase enrollment. And in adding these two sports, especially elevating club hockey from JV to club, I felt like that would provide kids a more stable, more viable, more sustainable option than the JV thing had been. Volleyball was something that, you know, you look at all the things that you potentially could add, right? Volleyball folder has been on my desk for 3 or 4 years. It's been something that we've talked about. We had conversations with the old volleyball conference, and they knew that if we wanted in, we'd get in. Well, there were enough NAC schools that sponsored it that if we had one more school, we could take it into the NAC full-time ourselves. So we stepped up, Pat and I, Dr. Ferry and I talked about it and said, if we're going to do it, let's do it. And that way we can jump in right then. So we did, and that's why we did it. And we also knew that it was going to be a challenge because of the time that we started. I think we made the decision in March. Well, the recruiting season's half over by then. So I knew we were going to be behind the eight ball a little bit. But to Curtis's credit, Curtis has done a great job. He's brought in enough people to get the inaugural team off the ground. So I'm happy about that. We have a new guy running the club hockey thing, and that's going to be, over time, it's going to be, I think, a great opportunity for kids that have aged out of juniors or high school kids that don't want to go play juniors mm-hmm. but want to continue playing hockey. It's going to give them an opportunity to play. You know, these hockey kids, take my son. My son's 16 or 17 now, senior in high school. He's been playing since he was 2. Well, that's 15 years of hockey, and if he goes and plays juniors, I don't know if he's good enough or if I have an opportunity, but if he goes and plays juniors, that's 3 more years. That's 18 years of hockey. Now what? There aren't that many collegiate options for hockey, because Division I has 60 teams, Division III has 60 teams, and there's just not that many kids on a roster. It's not like a football roster, right?
Yeah.
So offering a club hockey team provides more kids that have played a sport and invested a significant amount of time and resources and to continue to chase something that they love. So I think it's going to be an awesome addition.
I had not known this, and you had to explain it. The ACHA, there are hundreds of teams
yes.
at multiple levels.
They've grown. I want to say it's almost 800. It's like 780 or something like that, or 490. It's either 500 or 800, and it's just shy of that number of teams that actually, institutions that sponsor it. Some teams sponsor, multiple teams. They'll have a Division I team and, yep. and two Division III teams. Some people have Division II and Division III. So it's growing. And the reason is because ice hockey, again, there's not enough places for these people to mm-hmm. fall. So we will make application to a conference that will be regional, and there'll be a conference tournament, a regional tournament, and then they have a national tournament. Club hockey, ACHA has signed an agreement with the Columbus Blue Jackets to carry – so there's their corporate partner. The national championships are held over 5 days. They have 2 women's divisions and then 3 men's divisions. It's held over 5 days in Columbus. Now, the following year, I think they have an agreement with Dallas, and the tournament will be in Dallas. And so they get the full weight of this year, the Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL, and then the partnership will continue, I think, with the Dallas Stars moving forward.
And that'll be nice for the athletes to be able to kind of go around the country for the championship.
Yeah.
Those that want to watch and stuff. Yeah. There's also been talk, if this goes well, maybe adding another team next year down the road.
Potentially. We are going to have a challenge, however. I don't think we'll have a hard time finding guys that want to play or ice time, but it's locker room space. Currently, we're turning a public locker room space at the Ozaukee Ice Center into a semi-private space. So when we're in it, it's ours. But when we walk out of it, so if we practice it from 3 to 4, there may be a little team in there from 6 to 7, 7 to 8.
Okay.
I mean, changing and stuff. So, although our stuff will be secure, it's still going to be a public space, and we could do that again, but locker room space becomes an issue over there.
I can only imagine the expectations for men's volleyball, for ACHA club, are to win titles, as it is for the whole department. Can you explain to the listeners why the goals or the expectation is to finish top 3, to compete for conference championships, and go to NCAA level and do something there?
They keep score. So somebody's got to win, right? They keep score, somebody's got to win, and I want to win. I think, without putting words in his mouth, the president and I share the same vision. If we're going to invest time, energy, and effort into something, then we're going to do it the best we can. And when you talk about competitive sports, that goal is to win. Now, there are other ancillary goals, especially at a place like Concordia. But if you're talking simply about wins and losses, the goal is to win. So we realize that maintaining some type of juggernaut or dynasty is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But if we set our goals of being in the top 3, that allows us to travel in the upper, third of our leagues, and be consistently good. And if you do that, it's easier to recruit, easier to retain. The vibe on campus is better because you have a winning culture that you've created. It's just everything goes better with winning.
I imagine in your position, the main cog to getting that done is finding the right coach. Men's lacrosse has really done it, women's basketball, volleyball the last couple of years. The list goes on. How do you go about finding the right leader for these positions?
Well, that's extraordinarily difficult. I just came from teaching a facility management class, and we were talking about employees today. And one of the sayings that I talk about in that class is hire like your life depends on it, because it does. If you're hiring an assistant coach, you need to hire that assistant coach with the expectation that one day he could be your head coach. If you're hiring a head coach, you need to hire a guy that you think one day may could be a general manager or something. So you're looking for, obviously, experience and knowledge in the sport. You'd prefer to have recruiting experience and specifically Division III recruiting experience if possible, because it's just so much of a different animal than Division II and Division I. And then you're looking for the right fit, people that understand the culture and the mission of Concordia, that can operate within its opportunities and its constructs. And you're looking for self-starters. I'm not a micromanager. I do not want to hold your hand. I'm not looking for friends. I'm looking for people. Hire the best people you can. Put them in a position. Give them the resources. Give them support. And let them do their jobs. And it's not easy. Starting over is the worst. I mean, going through if somebody were to say, what's the single thing that you dislike the most about your job? That's it. Hiring people, going through the hiring process. It's time consuming and it's dangerous. It's a minefield. You can't miss, because if you miss, you could potentially put yourself behind the eight ball for
such a hole.
Yeah, and it's such a hole. You can't get out of it. And it's a lengthy hole. You know, you hire a guy, you give him 4 years, he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, you turn it over. All right, now you've invested, it's going to take you eight to realize what you're trying to do. So it's extraordinarily difficult. And at our level, you know, you don't have, you know, in Division I football, you can get who you want because you got the money.
Yeah,
right? You got your top five guys, and you say, all right, hey, who you want? We got the money. You'll come over. Here, it's not like that. I mean, you're dealing with younger people, probably, because we don't pay. I mean, it's not a great financial reward to be at this level. You're dealing with younger people. If you do hire older guys, you got a challenge of trying to make it a financial possibility for them.
And moving families.
And uprooting people. Yeah. And so it's fraught with challenges, but I think we've done a good job. I mean, I like our staff. You know, like any organization, you got A guys, you got A-plus guys. I think we got a bunch of A guys. We got a bunch of A-plus people running around here. And if we didn't, we'd make changes. So, I mean, I think everybody gets it. For the most part, I think everybody's happy. You know, we could all have more, right? I mean, we could all have more. We could have a better weight room. We could have a bigger field house. We could have more seats in the stadium. We could have a lot more. But with what we have and the people we have doing it, I think we're doing really well.
Mentioning having more, yesterday and Wednesday we had the groundbreaking for the Catalyst Sports Training Center, 6,000 square foot indoor building with turf, batting cages, mainly for baseball, softball, but others will be able to use it. Talk about how long, you mentioned yesterday at the groundbreaking, it took 4 years to finally get to this thing. I'd imagine that's somewhat of a weight lifted off to have that done and get it going. You know, why it takes so long and why it's important to continue to grow from a facility standpoint.
Well, it's ironic that our lead donor had to leave our groundbreaking yesterday to go to another groundbreaking in Cedarburg. Not because of something, well, he's building a self-storage facility, but right next to it, the North Shore soccer people, the Cedarburg community, is building an indoor soccer park.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that indoor soccer dome was my project 4 years ago. That's where we started this whole thing. And we had a meeting, I mean, it's 4.5 years ago. Had a meeting with all the local soccer people. If we build this dome, will you play? Will you be tenants? Will you help us? That took a year of conversation. Then it was another year of talking about, well, why don't we just internalize it ourselves? And then just, we don't need those partners. Let's just do it ourselves. Then it took a half a year to go to the city, and then the city said, no, thank you. Then we chased around a year with dollars that we thought were there that ended up not being there. And then we found ourselves with, fortunately, a donor that had a heart for the mission of the school, had an affinity for our institution, and had the capacity to be able to make this a reality for us. So that's why it took so long. Is it frustrating? Sure. But things, money doesn't grow on trees, right? You don't find it on the side of the street. So those things take time, and I get that. I'm just happy that we're here. And it's funny, you know, the building's not up yet, but as far as I'm concerned, my piece of it, I mean, I'll still have some oversight and some ideas about the construction and the design and some things to worry about that way. But the reality is this thing's done. I mean, money's in the bank, hay's in the barn. We're already starting to talk about fundraising for the next thing. And we have a list. I met with our fundraising guy today, and you know, I identified 6, 7, 8 projects. Everything from $100,000 projects to $10 million, right? All that stuff's out there, and we need it all. You ask, why is it important? Well, there's a facilities arms race at every level of competitive athletics, be it high school, colleges, pro. And kids now come out of high school playing in really nice facilities. They you know, they have access to everything, so they see, their eyes are open to the possibilities. Even Division III colleges are building newer, more modern athletic facilities to help attract, recruit, and retain these valuable assets, the student athletes. And you know, I don't know if I believe if you build it they will come. I think there's a lot more to it than that. But I think if you build it, it helps you. It gives you a chance, right? It gives you a chance. It just arms you with more resources to be able to convince kids that Concordia University is a great place to go, get a great Christian education, and to play and to win.
This is year 17, if I have that correct for you?
This is actually my 18th fall.
18th fall, okay. During your time, we've turfed football, softball, soccer. Capco Park's been built. Tennis courts have been redone. Do you ever... My office is a couple away from yours, and there's a lot of times you're in and out, meetings, you're just doing your thing. At any point, do you ever just sit and look out the window and say, man, during my time, all this has been done?
Yes,
kind of enjoy it a little bit.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, there's sometimes I walk through the field house and I smile because and here's when I do it, when it's dark, like when there's nobody in there and the lights are off, and I'll walk through and I think, you know, I have a key to this, and this happened here, and we won this there, and you know, I walk down the stairs and you see something as simple as the little award pictures that we have at the bottom
for athlete of the years. Yeah,
that wasn't there before we got here. So do I take time to reflect on all the things that we've all been able to do together? Yeah, I do. But at the same time, you can't sit around and pat yourself on the back. There's still a long way to go. A long way to go. I mean, that list of things, if I want to see that list to fruition, we got to get going. I mean, we've got to get after it if we want to see. Otherwise, we won't see it in our lifetimes, or at least not in our working lifetimes.
Last question I have for you. We talked earlier about finishing top three, winning conference titles. What is the outlook for this athletic year? What do you see?
I think we're an emerging. I mean, if you get it's hard to do that because you're going to eventually leave somebody out. But I will say this. I know I have huge expectations for our volleyball team. I think they're at the top of their game. She's doing a tremendous job, her and her staff, running a great program. I believe both soccers are going to be very, very competitive. I think football is young, but they're deep. Mm-hmm. And if we can keep this group together, we might have something special down the road. Cross country is always strong here. I'm excited about the future of our golf program, now having a full-time golf coach. I would expect both tennises to repeat or contend to repeat as champions. Baseball is always strong. Softball's perennially been strong. We're very good in track and field.
It sounds like it's hard to not name everybody, because over the course of time, the expectations, the demands of facilities, recruiting has gotten so good that we win at a lot of things.
We do. And, you know, you send that list to me every spring, and then I submit it to the Board of Regents just so they can be apprised of what we're doing. And the number of ones and twos and threes, I mean, we this past year we had more second-place finishes than we did first, and more second-place finishes than we did third. But 2 years ago, I think we had like 13 or 14 sports that finished second. That's good. I mean, it's not.
And it sounds like a disappointment that you didn't win a title, but second is still really good.
You're right there, and you're in the conversation. Yeah. And I think I really believe that has something to do with the culture that we've created. Everybody knows what the expectations are here. It's not. There's no ambiguity about it. And I think the people have met that challenge, and the kids embrace it, and they know this is where we need to be. And by and large, that's where we are. And if we're not, then we have made changes in the past. And, you know, you'd like to think that you give people an opportunity and the resources and the support that they need to be able to meet expectations, and 95% of us are doing it. So,
do your peers at all when you go out to NCAA meetings or whatnot? Do they envy you being in the spot you're in? Because I mean, there's got to be a lot of times where conversations come up, and you might be thinking in the back of your head, yeah, we kicked your butt a few times.
At the national level, at the NCAA level, no, they don't. I mean, we're an afterthought. But in our conferences, I think they get tired of hearing about it. I mean, I believe they do. Let's not kid ourselves. There's two or three of us in the league that win most of everything. And when you're one of those people, there's going to be shade thrown your way, but that's okay. I'm down with that. If you hate me for winning, that's fine. I mean, I'm okay with that.
All right, Rob, thanks for joining the podcast.
Yeah, appreciate it. Good time.
All right, have a good one.
Yeah,
thank you.
Bye.